Psalm 68, verse 16 says, every day God thinks of you. Every day. Wow. In Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, every hour God looks after you. Peter 5, verse 7 says, every minute God cares for you. Wow. And in Jeremiah 31, 3, because every second he loves you. It's so amazing to know that that's a 24-hour period. God is thinking about us. God is loving us. He's taking care of us because he loves us. And there's nothing that we can do that will take that love away. And as I was putting bits together, Luke 12, verse 32 said, do not be afraid, little flock. And that's what we are, a little flock. Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And even if you were the last sheep, he would come and find you. I saw something by Nicky Gumbel yesterday, and he said, I went to the doctors once. This was a story that he was sharing, and he said, somebody said, well, I've got this wrong with me, and I've got that wrong with me, and I've got this, and he went on and on and on. And he said, oh, sorry, doctor, the time's going. I've got to go now without getting a diagnosis. And that's where we have to listen, that our conversations with God are a two-way conversation. Are we listening, or are we just saying, it's me here again at Merston Baptist. Do you think you could sort the roof out? Look, isn't it? Look, amazing. Yes. Teresa is no longer worried that it's going to fall on top of her head.
3 tears for Graham.
He listens to us, but he also deserves the respect that we should be listening to him.
Amen.
And then I wrote some of the things that are so powerful in the Bible. I'm going to just put it up there for a look. I haven't got any blue tack. I'm really bad.
Should
today.
I get the little bit legged thing?
Oh, no, it's okay. If the sea couldn't stop Moses, if a wall couldn't stop Joshua, if a giant couldn't stop David, if death could not stop Jesus, then with God, nothing can stop you.
Amen.
So I'm going to leave that up there. We can pin it somewhere. I'm going to invite Philipsia and Wayne and Tony. They're going to come and help me. I'm a little bit sort of losing my voice every now and again, so
yes.
let the others take the strain. Yes. We're going to have communion now. I know we... Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I don't know how weary you're feeling, but as I said earlier, God's got our back 24/7. From the moment that we wake up to engage in whatever we do during the day to when we lay back down in our bed for peace again. I've got two bits up on the wall. I'm going to get Wayne to go over to that one. And I'm going to get... Oh, can I use you, Doug? Because I know how whizzy. You might need a phone or a Bible, Wayne. Over that. I want you over there. And Wayne's going over there. So, are you all right? You having one of them breaths? Okay, might need to share it later. I'm just going to ask you, what is church? What is church? Is it a building? Is it a porta cabin? Is it a home? Is it in school? Let me tell you what church is. Church is a hospital for the broken. It's a hospital for those who are lost and empty. Church is a place for those who are confused. Church is a place for those who are desperate. And church is a place for those who feel rejected. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. I'm just going to share something that I did this week, and it's not to blow my own trumpet because I'm not that way inclined, but it just reminded me that sometimes we have to listen to that still small voice. And I was driving my car back from Chaldon. I had to go and pick a parcel up from a shop that collects parcels and then you pick them up from, I don't know what they're called, shops. And I thought, oh, Cochrane's, the baker's is down the road. I'm just going to go and get my dad a sandwich. And I'm going to get myself the same sandwich because I thought, we'll have that cheese and onion sandwich together. And I bought a drink for him and for me. And as I was driving down Shepherd's Hill, I was still thinking about the cheese and red onion sandwich on white bread. I wasn't very healthy that day. And I turned round just past Christian's house to the left and went past what used to be, when I was growing up, the Jolliffe pub, which is now luxurious apartments, I guess. And on there, on the side of the walls, sat a man of the world with all his belongings. And I looked, or glanced, because I was driving, and you can't look. And as I got to him, the small voice said, give him your sandwich. Give him your sandwich. So you can't just stop on the main London to Brighton Road. Well, if you can, you're a better driver. So I thought, no, it can't be, just can't be God telling me to give him a sandwich because I need a sandwich in a minute when I get to where I was going. And I drove down, went past the cemeteries. If you know where the cemeteries are on the top of the village, give him your sandwich, he needs your sandwich. Went over the motorway bridge, he still needs your sandwich and the drink. So I did a U-ey by Quality Street and drove all the way back. He needs your sandwich. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, time's precious, but he needs your sandwich. So I did another U-ey at the bottom of Shepherd's Hill. Good job Christian wasn't around looking at this weird woman doing things. And I stopped my car, parked it up on the road, got out, and just pleasantly said to the man, you never know how old people are when they've been living in the elements. He had an interesting face and an interesting beard. And I just said, good morning. And he said, good morning back. I said, you need this sandwich and this drink. And he said, thank you, that's very kind. I got in my car and carried on with my day. But it's listening to that still small voice. I still had a sandwich and a drink in my bag. I didn't have two. I only had one. And as it was, when I got to the end of my journey where I was going, I didn't need two sandwiches. I only needed one. And I don't need to share why I only needed one. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you can ask me afterwards. But it's listening with our hearts and our minds. Because Jesus is very soft when he speaks to us in those ways when he says, Steve, I want you to do that today. I want you to go and do something for me. He doesn't say, Pat! Get off your bed, go down the road and, you know, give all those clothes away that you've got that you don't need. He doesn't say that. He's very gentle because he is a loving God. He loves us and he just wants the best for us. And we don't need copious of things that we have in our houses. And I've been into houses where I've had to step over copious of bits of stuff when I'm helping my patients to go home. And I think, like, I really don't know where I'm going to put anything that you need because there's no space. But it just got me thinking. Are you listening? Are you really listening with your ears wide open to what God is trying to say to you? And I think we are listening, but we haven't fully got the 100% yet. And I don't know why. Is that because God says, well, actually, those little sheep, they're not quite ready yet, but they will be soon. They just need a little bit more. So I'm going to ask the boys, I love it when you can stand here and you can have volunteers, to unwrap your piece of paper and then maybe put the pin back in. What does your one say, Wayne, at the top? There are some verses there. That's why these boys have got phones or Bibles. If you want to get back to your relationship with God, what is stopping you? What doesn't fill you with excitement every time you get up? If you get out of bed every day, what a joy that is, because believe me, there are people today who will never get out of bed again. I would encourage us all just to get up and be mobile, if you're able to, Mabel. Get up and have a look. And see what some of those verses are saying there. And Doug has got...
Deuteronomy 28:6.
So there's a lot, there's Bible verses there to speak over yourself. If you want someone to pray those verses over you, then go to Doug. He's very quiet and demure. Underneath that hat is a man of God. You notice the boys have both got hats on today. Black and red. I missed that one. I would have thought. I missed the memo. But I would encourage you to get up and go and have a look at those verses. And if you feel that you want someone to pray, there are people here that will pray with you. If you just want to do it silently, then just do it. I'm going to just... I saw something and it reminded me of my darling Pat. And it was Billy Graham. And it reminded me, Pat, of when we went to Billy Graham up at Crystal Palace many, many years ago. I think I was only in my 20s then when we went. Okay, I was still in my 20s. Pat went, she came with us, we had a coach. Those were the days when we used to have coaches. I was 28, Pat, so I was in my 20s. And we went up, I think it was Ian Drummond, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who was our student pastor at the time. He's now retired from ministry. So it was a long time ago. But we went up, your dad was with us. I think you were with us. We had a coach full of people. And we stood there and, you know, we were gazing down on these people at the bottom, and Billy Graham spoke. And this little boy said to me, I've got to go down. I've been called. She'd been called. Will you come with me? We're still together, aren't we, darling? We are still friends. And it's never been easy, because Pat comes from a family that don't get Jesus totally. And sometimes when it's like that, you're pulled to pillar. And she said to me once, and I'm sorry, Pat, if I offend you by saying this, she said, I think I'll give up on this because it's not doing me any good. Because Pat would be ready to come out the door for church, and that voice would say, well, where's my breakfast? So she had turned around, because she was a wife who was obedient to her husband. But she's still here. She's still loving Jesus. And she still says to her family, which is wonderful, her grandchildren have a little knowledge of Jesus. And we love it, don't we, Pat? We love it. But Billy Graham said, do you really want Christ in your life? Do you? Do you really want him to come into your heart? Are you really ready to surrender everything? And he said, it's not easy. Sometimes you will have to give up. You just want to give up. And the word that I've been struggling for a few weeks whilst I was looking forward to this Sunday was attitude. And Billy Graham said, you have to have new attitudes in your life. You need to have an attitude to say, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get into the church. This year we're going to be 150 years old. I feel like it sometimes. I might look like it sometimes. So June the 8th and the 9th, we're going to have a celebration weekend here where we're going to have the opportunity to share Jesus to our community, that he has put us here to serve. You might not think you're very special, but you are. Each one of you is special to Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, do it from the heart for the Lord. And I would encourage you, we're going to spend 5 minutes. You can just go over to either one. If you want to be prayed over there with some of the verses, if you want to get back into church, go to Wayne. That this week you become more Christ-like. Because if we don't become more Christ-like, we're just lukewarm. We're just going through the process. We have to be observant of what the Bible says to us. Jesus didn't say, live your truth. He said, I am the truth. One of the best verses in the Bible is John 14, verse 6. Jesus didn't say, follow your heart. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus didn't say, good people go to heaven. He said, those who believe in me will have eternal life. John 3, 16. And Jesus didn't say, go out and gain a following. Be followers, then go out and make followers. It's sometimes we turn words around, but we've got to always remember to put Jesus first. At the beginning of the day, give gratitude that you've been able to be here on planet Earth another day. And at the end of the day, give gratitude that you've done a good job for Jesus. Teresa, would you mind just playing some music while people have the opportunity just to have a look at some of those verses? So if you want to have someone